All right. So tonight we're concluding our three-part series called Unstoppable. If you missed any of our sermons, please go onto our website, download them or listen to them. But I would highly encourage you to do so if you have missed them. But in case you missed them and you don't feel like doing that, just in a nutshell, I'm just going to run through it quickly. In the first week, John introduced our series by challenging us to join God's unstoppable plan for this world. And that plan being to tell every person the good news about Jesus, and in so doing, to spread God's kingdom. With that understanding of God's game plan and a passionate invitation to join God's team, last week I preached on our devotion as a team member of God. Because we all know that at times it's quite difficult to stick to God's game plan and to stay a committed, devoted Christian. And I just thought, just to kind of see how well it went last week. Remember we used Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47 to be our devotional guide or our step-by-step instruction on how to become a devoted Christian. Any of you remember what we spoke about? What was the first thing we had to do? We had to expose ourselves to... There we go. Was that Liz? Rock on. John, your wife rocks. We've got to expose ourselves to good biblical teaching. Then the second thing, we're kind of doing it right now. Fellowship. There we go. Third thing, communion. Yeah, communion and prayer, remember? You were reminded to come and inspired and encouraged to come to communion services quite often. Because it's at those services that we are reminded about the gospel message as we partake in communion. But we also last week challenged about the power of prayer and how we should rely on that more often. And then right at the end of the service, I gave you what challenge? People are going to listen to the sermon and go, what on earth did he just do? Come on, it was an Afrikaans saying. You have to go and have some. Thanks, John. Thank you. Yes, man. You got to like spend some time with each other. You know, team members invite each other over to each other's homes. But it's our desire that as you are part of God's unstoppable team, that right at the end of last week's service, that our love for God and one another would grow to that extent that we would be willing to do anything for our teammates, even sell our car. Teenagers are like, I don't have a car, so I'm okay, hey? And so tonight, we're going to conclude our series. So just to recap, week one was about God's unstoppable plan. Week two is how to be a devoted member of God's unstoppable team. And tonight, it's all about God's unstoppable power. God's unstoppable power. And let's read together from Acts chapter 5, verse 32 to 42. So if you've got your Bible app open, that'll be fantastic if you follow with us. But if you just have your normal Bible, that's fine. Caesar, can we turn on these lights so that people can read again? The center lights, thank you. There we go. That's good. Okay. Verse 32, Acts 5. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. And then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all of his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. A little bit of context behind that reading tonight. The previous day, the apostles were arrested and thrown into jail for doing the good work that God had called them to do. They were just thrown into the jail for preaching that Jesus saves and Jesus loves the world. So in jail, an amazing thing happens that night. God just takes them out. The gate's still locked. God's just like out, and so like teleporting of note. God just takes them out, puts them outside, back in the temple courts to carry on doing what they were doing. And obviously the next morning, the Pharisees, the highest council, the Sanhedrin, all of them wake up, and the guards come to them and tell them the story. But another guy kind of rocks up and says, hey, those oaks that we locked in jail, they're back in the temple courts again, doing the same things that we locked them up for. Now they get brought in front of the council. And in a very arrogant and slightly cocky way, and if you read the whole passage, you'll actually read this whole story. The disciples are like, yo, but we're going to do it again. You know, because we know Jesus. You actually killed him. And that, if you read that, that's what they said. And obviously these high council oaks, the Pharisees and Sadducees, got quite upset because these oaks are now like literally in our face. You know, we just locked them up. God just took them out of jail and they did it again and now we want to sort them out. And that's where we picked up tonight's story, where they kind of just said to them, we are witnesses of these things, that you have killed Jesus. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And these oaks are furious. They want to get all the apostles killed. They want to stop this movement. Except for this one guy, Gamaliel, hey? Did you read that? This one wise oak is like, hang on, oaks, we've been here before, haven't we? And he reminds them of Thaddeus and Judas of Galilee. He reminds them of any human movement, hey? He reminds them of anything that we do by human effort that won't last. He reminds them of that. And just to give you a bit of history behind this guy, he is well-respected Pharisee. That well-respected that he is often quoted in the Mishnah. He was Paul's teacher. Paul, the Apostle Paul, that wrote, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament, he was his teacher. And also the grandson of Hillel, which was also a renowned Pharisee. This guy decides to stand up against the council and just go, guys, let's just think about this. And he even uses those words. He kind of puts out a wait-and-see proposition for them. Hey, let's not kill these oaks. Let's just wait and see what happens. And we've got a bit of a track record that we can go against as well with Thaddeus and Judas. Now, a bit of history behind Judas the Galilean. He started a revolt against Caesar in 6 AD. And in quite a big one, but also got chopped. And Gamaliel kind of put Judas and Thaddeus in the same bracket, and even Jesus. He was hoping, just like the rest of the council, that this movement, this Christian movement, would also fade away because the Christian leader is gone. Jesus isn't there anymore. And just like any other team without a leader, hey? Kind of saw it this weekend watching the Lions. There's no one taking leadership against those Hurricanes. The Hurricanes were, yeah, ne? All right. But I think there was something else that Gamaliel picked up. He understood the power of God, I think, more than the rest of the high council. He realized that if these humans were actually doing their work in the power of God, not the high council nobody would be able to stop them. And he even says that. And so, friends, how often do you rely on the power of God to that extent? This last week, if you haven't watched this movie, I would highly recommend it. And like I said to one of the young adults, I don't have any royalties, so I'm not like advertising for it to like get any money back. But go and watch the movie God's Not Dead 2. If you haven't watched the first one, go watch that one. But go watch it. We took some young adults out to go and watch this movie. And inside the cinema, we heard people going, yes, amen, preach it, brother. Oh, we left there going, Durinoth, come on. You know, like, it was, yeah, okay. But we were very excited. Like, you can see, it's still like there, you know. But it was that good because in that movie, the power of God came through. And, like, it's a movie, I know, but, like, they had you. The writer just had you because you were like at the end, towards the end, you were like, is it going to happen? Isn't it going to happen? Man, this is going to be embarrassing if it doesn't happen. And then something happens. I don't want to give away the movie, but go and watch it. It is just absolutely awesome. I think I already did, but just go watch the movie and come back next week with the same amount of energy and kind of renewed faith in God's power again. But for Peter and John, they just experienced the power of God. Hey, sitting in a jail cell and the next moment, like, not sitting there anymore. Come on, that'd be awesome. Hey, anyone want to go to the Big Ben in London in a heartbeat? Well, we just got to rely on God's power. This was a miracle that happened. And they understood God's power, and so did Gamaliel. He was a bit skeptic of these guys, but he knew that if they were working in the power of God, he couldn't stop them. They had just experienced, Peter and John had just experienced the power of God like never before. Just teleported out of a prison. And then what happens? After the Pharisees agree, okay, let's let these guys go and let's wait and see whether it's going to happen or not, whether it will die or not. I think that's the biggest mistake they did there, you know? But for Peter and John, they now get flogged. They were the first Christians to get flogged for being a Christian and for spreading the love of God. What was their response? Was that Caesar? A bit louder. Thank you. They were like, this is awesome. We just got a massive hiding for preaching the good news about Jesus. They rejoiced in it. If you read the text again, it's towards the end. Hey, the apostles, verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Why? Not because they got a beating. Trust me, when they got it, it was Anna. But they left because they had been counted worthy. They have been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. And so, friends, how do you and I deal with persecution? At school, when you're mocked for being a Christian, or praying while before you have your meal, are you okay with this? Are you okay when people mock you for being a Christian? Are we okay with that? I often think we're not. Hey, we just like open eyes, like, thank you, Jesus, for the food. Hey? Like, I get so inspired when I see families go out to dinner and they grab hands around the table and they pray together. I'm like, yes, man, don't be shy. Like, pray out loud. Like, someone grab a microphone, that kind of thing. Let's tell this world that Jesus lives. Like our first song, let's not be ashamed. Now, no matter what the cost, that's what it was like for these disciples. They were like, okay, yes, my bum hurts a lot right now. But I have been counted worthy by God to suffer disgrace for his name's sake. And how awesome would that be if that would be our response every time we get ridiculed at work, in our families, in our friendship circles, maybe people chirp us, oh, Christian again. Or like Sunday afternoon, like you're having a braai with friends and family and you're watching that clock, you know, because you want to get to church on time. And they go, what, you're going to church again? Weren't you there this morning? And you're like, yeah, I actually like going. And they chirp you, and then you're like ashamed, and you're like, okay, well, I'll stay for another cup of tea and some more of your cake. But how do we respond when we are persecuted? Do we, like Peter and John, rely on God's unstoppable power, that even when we get smacked as a Christian, we're okay? Jesus has got my back, literally for them, hey? And they could walk out of there rejoicing because they've been counted worthy. Friends, let us leave any persecution with the same attitude. Grateful, rejoicing that we've been counted worthy by God to suffer for His name. And so, friends, tonight, the heat is on for you to leave here with God's unstoppable power. Tonight is the night to join God's team, to take His unstoppable plan seriously and start relying on God's unstoppable power like Peter and John did at all cost. Tonight is the night to leave your rejoicing that God has counted you worthy to go and share His love with this world. And all you've got to do is rely on His power to do so. Call upon the name that is above all names tonight. Rely on the power of God tonight. And as we do that, God's unstoppable plan with His unstoppable team, powered by His unstoppable power, will reach Durban North and beyond. Will you partner with Peter and John? Will you partner with us? Just like God's not dead too. And go and change this world for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your word. That it's given us such a real life and tangible example of where two people decided to live out your gospel message in such a way that people decided to persecute them for it. We thank you for this story because it happens today, Lord, in our lives where we get dissed and mocked for being a Christian. And we just hope and pray, God, that tonight that we would start relying on your unstoppable power like Peter and John did, that even when we get mocked and persecuted, we can walk out of that situation rejoicing because you have counted us worthy to suffer for your name's sake. Help us, Lord, tonight to just rely more and more on your power. Help us tonight to, if we need to, recommit ourselves to your team and your plan for this world. Help us tonight, Lord, to become part of your unstoppable force. For your word says you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we want to be part of that plan. We want to be part of that team. We want to see your power at work in our lives, in and around us. And so tonight, Lord, help us in Durban North to rely more and more on your power once more. In Jesus' name we pray.